The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Let's say good morning to our neighbors to the right and to the left with a smile on your face. Good morning. Okay, so as we know that the prophetic word of God for us this month is open doors to higher ground. Open doors to higher ground. I pray in the name of Jesus that doors will open to you. Doors to higher ground will open to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Doors to higher ground will open to you in the mighty name of Jesus. So, we are looking at higher ground. Higher ground. And I suspect that this is part one. There's so much that God wants to share with us. And I believe that God wants to open our eyes to as we attain and ascend to the higher grounds of open doors. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us grow in this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. And so it is and shall be. Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So, higher grounds, higher grounds. Now, one key thing about the Word of God is that the Word of God is multifaceted and multidimensional. So, when God gives you a word, you need to step back and understand what he's saying. Don't assume. Some may appear obvious, but never assume you have the full grasp of what he's saying. That's why, you know, many times God will ask, son of man, what do you see? You know, no, what is before you is before you. What is asking you, what do you see? So it's one thing for something to be before you. It's another thing for you to see it. Then it's another thing for you to see it correctly and well and articulate it properly. Amen. Higher ground. So if the door is open to higher ground, it suggests that there are heights we need to attain, and no height is attained casually. No height is attained casually. No height is attained with zero effort. Even when you are being carried to the height, There is work done by the person or the vessel that is carrying you to the height. You know, the concept of on eagle's wings means that we can be on eagle's wings and ascend to the height, but the eagle has to flap and has to soar and has to combat drag and stuff. Even when you're in the airplane has to combat drag, has to accelerate, has to lift itself. So height are not casual expressions or casual entities. Higher height, as we believe and embrace higher height, we understand that attainment is before us. Attainment is before us. And to illustrate the teaching for us, we look at, the highest height on earth, physically, is Mount Everest. If I hope I'm not mistaken, it's Mount Everest. Mount Everest is the highest height, and we can give you all the stats of how high it is above sea level and all that. But the fact is, Everest is the highest peak, physical peak, on earth. So we can draw a lot of examples from attaining and climbing to the summit of Everest, because the higher ground God has for you is not Kwekwe mountains, it's not small hills, it's not a mold. It is a great height that God has for you, and you will attain it in the name of Jesus. Also, when you look at God, many times God illustrates his presence, and the Bible illustrates the habitation of God as being on a height, as being on like on a mountain. Psalm 24, 3 to 4 says to us, "Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord?" So there's a mountain, there's an ascending. When you want to grow spiritually, there's an ascending that needs to happen. You need to ascend, and it is the mountain of the Lord, and who may dwell in his holy place. So the holy place of Jehovah is pictured, it is described as being on a height. On a height. That's why even when you hear people say, "Well, I'm going to the mountain," you know, "I'm going to the mountain." Some actually go to physical mountains. Some go to physical mountains. Just maybe as an expression, as a physical demonstration of separation and pursuit of God, perhaps. But people use, "I'm going to the mountain," to depict, "I am in pursuit of God. I am in pursuit of God." And God doesn't stay. His habitation is not with mere men. So the habitation of God is described as being on that, on a height. On a height. And doors are opened to you to greater heights, both spiritually and physically, and financially and emotionally, in the name of Jesus. Doors are opened to you to greater heights. So drawing from Everest, what should we know? How do we climb? How do we ascend? What, because you know, you need to be equipped. How do we get equipped for these heights? Now, the first thing you need to realize, I know this is very unpopular, you know, is that the summit requires suffering. Ooh, pastor now? Why? You know, let me say this. Let me just say this. I love you. From the bottom of my heart, by the grace of God. God loves you. He loves you far more than I can ever even imagine, talk less of attaining. Now, guess what? God loves you and he wants you to know this truth so that you will not be ordinary in your life. There are people that don't want to hear this kind of things. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear that Jesus' gospel has anything to do with suffering. You know, in Dallas, we have Q&A. Someone asked me, why must there be suffering in this thing? Why can't we just remove it? Can't we make it, you know, more palatable? Call it something like hard work. Say this, call it something like, perseverance. You see, the Bible says that we should be careful because because they have itchy ears, they've heaped for themselves teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. We should be careful. And one of the key things about the beauty of the proliferation of the internet is that you can select who you want to listen to. So people swipe away from the truth. And they are fine with those that also know that, okay, this is what people want to hear. You know, like I've shared before, I have friends that say to me, Femi, I don't know how you do it. You know, people don't want to hear the truth. So we tell them what they want to hear. The offering is big. You know, the church is bustling. I give you 5 steps on how to be a great person, but nothing about the price you have to pay. And then you're excited. Listen. In God's Favorite House, we are not going to deceive you. We are going to teach you the word of God. You are going to be strong. So that because everybody is building, and the wind is going to blow, the rain, the storm is not a respecter of the house that you have built. The Bible says that when the storm comes, it is the house that is built on the rock that will stand. Your house will stand in the name of Jesus. Because the storm will come, the wind will blow. Forget about how beautiful and palatial the house looks from the outside. When wind blow, our people say, wind don't blow. Something don't show. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You will be grounded. So the first thing you need to know is the summit requires suffering. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, 24. People came to Jesus. They came to Philip. They said, we want to see Jesus. Philip came to Jesus. I said, people want to see you. You're getting, you're becoming popular. Jesus, you look at your followers. You're becoming a celebrity, man. Look at people have come from a far distance. They want to see you. Your fame. You're becoming famous, Jesus. Jesus said something. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Don't you just love Jesus? Jesus said, following me is not fanfare. Following me is the greatest thing you can do with your life, but it's not the easiest thing you will do with your life. Following Jesus is the greatest thing you will do in your life, but it is not the easiest thing you will do in your life. When we look at Everest, for instance, climbers, they spend 60 days on the mountain. It takes about 60 days, 2 months of climbing, of endurance, of withstanding sub-zero temperatures, deadly winds, constant threats of avalanches. They expose 5 to 4, 60 days. But guess what? That 60-day exposure to suffering and extreme conditions is preceded by 360 days of preparation. So before they start to climb at all, they need to begin, they start preparing. They change their diet. They change their routine. They begin to exercise. They began to prepare their baggage. Their baggage and what we sustain them in those that 60 days. They begin to, you know, condition their lungs, condition their body for 360 days. Then they will enter that real suffering. For 60 days before they attain the peak, the height of Everest. But guess what? One, with all that preparation, one in every 100 people that attend Everest die. So, they are going. Let's say 100 people are going because they go sometimes. We're going to see the value of that, you know, as a group. One, they know that one person is not going to come back. One person is going to die. One in 100 die. But, we need to understand that the height that God has for you in your marriage, for instance, having a blissful marriage is a height of attainment. There's suffering. You need to die to yourself. You cannot be selfish and have a harmonious marriage at the same time. They don't go together. If you think you are winging it and you are succeeding, it's short-lived. You cannot be selfish and be happily married. You need to suffer. You cannot be ego-centric and be happily married. Your ego will be bruised. You need to suffer. Take any height, your financial height, your business, you want to take it to the top. You will have sleepless nights. You will have shorter sleep time. There's a period called the thinking period. That is that climbing period. It's a suffering period. Hallelujah. You've heard no pain, no gain. I'll say to you, no pain, no peak. No pain, no peak. You want to peak, you want to attain. No pain, no peak. No pain, no peak. So elevation will cost you something. Comfort is the enemy of growth. Comfort is the enemy of higher grounds. Elevation will cost you something. Guess what? With Everest, as with every height, there is no shortcut to Everest. Do you know that? There's no shortcut from ground level to the summit of Everest. There's no shortcut. There's no place that when you take, you know, it's a shortcut, you know. There's no shortcut to the summit. The climb is a part of the calling. The climb is a part of the calling. In fact, did you know that if you took a shortcut to Everest, let's say they take you with a chopper and they, from ground level, and drop the person on the top of Everest, do you know that the human being will die? You will die because you are not conditioned. The climbing, what you think is unnecessary pain, is preparing you for the height that God is taking you to. Don't despise your pain. Don't despise your pain. It is preparing you for that height. The person that takes a shortcut to the top does not last at the top. Ishe ni ogun ishe. you know, the Yoruba poem. Walking is the antidote to poverty. That's what that means. Mura si ise ore mi. Work hard, my friend. Ise la fin de ni giga. It is work that takes you to the great height. And he goes on to say, Ohun taba sise fun lo pe lowo eni. Meaning that it is what you work for that endures in your hand. It is what you don't work for does not endure in your hand. So I was sitting back and I was looking at my life. You know, I've been around for a while. Well, I mean, many of you are older than me. I know that, but yet much more of you are younger than me, because the last time we did a poll, much more of you are younger than me. And I can tell you something. I was sharing. I've started writing a halftime memoir. I mean, autobiography of my life, you know. And the title of the book, of the autobiography, is Otolori, the Outlier. Yeah. Otolori, the Outlier. That's the title. One of the things I realized, thinking back at my life, is that if by the time I finished from school, from college, from university, I had an inheritance. Let's say my father or my mom or my parent left or gave me $1 million or $10 million or $100 million. I'm saying that, would my life be better now? Would it actually be better? If you are honest with yourself, if you've seen some life, think about it. If you have that kind of money when you were 20 something, would your life would it be actually better? If you say, Pastor, it will be better, but give me the money, you still don't understand. Keep living, you will understand. For those that have experience, they know what I'm talking about. For those that have seen life, they know what I'm talking about. You see, I'm not saying it's bad. It's good, right? But if you're going to leave an inheritance, you have to prepare that child. But you see, nothing prepares you for life than life itself. Nothing. So it's good to give an inheritance. But I'm just saying that the person you will become will not be because of the inheritance you have been given. Oh yeah. It can help, but it will not be because of that. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that God does not waste your pain. God doesn't waste your pain. He builds your mountains with it and equips your hand with your pain to attain the height that He has for you. So, number one, there's suffering in the mix. Number two, you can't climb alone. You cannot climb alone. You cannot climb alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 to 10. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10 says, two are better than one. Two are better than one. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. Two are better than one. No one climbs Everest without a team. Now you can say that in the history of humanity, there have been a handful of people that climbed Everest alone, right? I mean, yeah. So they are exceptions. They're exceptions. You don't build your life on exceptions. You build your life on principles that are everlasting, not on exceptions. How many people want to be Messi? You want to be Ronaldo? You want to be Pele? But how many Peles are in not even in one generation, in several generations? How many Pele? How many Messi's and how many Ronaldo's? How many people can be that exceptional? I'm not saying saying you shouldn't go to be exceptional. I'm just saying that, oh, say, pastor, you know, people give their to their children, so this is Project Mbappe. You know, they moved to Project Yamin Laba, whatever his name is, you know, right now. Stressing little boys, you know. Some of them have no intention of kicking that leather ball, you know. But you see, you must earn the billions. You will play football, you know. My point is that for every one person that succeeds, there are hundreds and thousands of people that die on Everest when they go solo. In fact, the government of Nepal has actually instituted a law now that you cannot climb Everest alone because people are just dying like chickens. You know, you're trying to imitate those people that have been exceptionally graced. They're just dying like chickens. How many people want to be, I don't want to mention names, you in your area of life, even in ministry, even in life, even in finances, you want to be this person. But you are not that person. That's number one. Number two, you cannot do it like that person did it. Even though I pray you'll be greater than a person, you need a team. You need a team. You can't, no one goes solo. Shepherds are critical. Shepherds are required. They are the guides to the mountain. The guide, they carry your gear. They saves you. Because lone wolves freeze first. Lone wolves freeze first. If you go alone, you are going to freeze. You need a tribe for the terrain. You need a tribe for that terrain. Think about the terrain you want to attain. You need a tribe for that terrain. And I say this to you. You don't need a crowd for the terrain. You need a tribe for the terrain. The mistake people make is that because of, you need people, you think you need everybody. No, you don't. You do not. You do not. In fact, you need a handful of people. There are some people that are not worthy to be in that handful. If you keep insisting they are in there, you are doing yourself a disservice. Many people will let you know they are not worthy to be in that handful by themselves. They will let you know by themselves. So you don't even need to discriminate or anything. But listen, when people tell you who they are, believe them. As someone said, listen, people will let you know by themselves whether they are part of the crew. I mean, so you need a tribe. You don't need a crowd. Sometimes two is company and three is the crowd. Depending on the mission. Yes, depending on the mission. Sometimes three is a crowd. Depending on the mission. You know, husband and wife, you know, everybody, we go, we have dinner as a group. Okay. We are 15. Dinner. Oh, we are fun. We are talking. Everybody's with their spouses. Those are our spouses. You know, blah, 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 blah. We leave. That is a tribe for the table for dinner. Not necessarily a crowd. There are 15 people. We are close-knit. You are not inviting your whole of Lekki, right? If somebody shows up, you say, excuse me, and you know, you have to bounce them, correct? Yeah. When you want to enter your car, maybe you have someone that is living close to your house. Oh, can I eat a ride with you? You look at your spouse, okay, yeah. So you are now three in that car. In the car, it is still a tribe. It is still a tribe. You've had a good night. You've eaten well, you know. You and your wife, you have given yourself, you know, a t-shirt, you know, during the dinner, you know. And then you get home, that your neighbor, which is your friend, which belongs to the restaurant, and it belongs to your car, now wants to follow you into your bedroom. You say, "Oga, madam, okay, come and be going." At that time, three becomes a crowd. Yes. Don't mind the madness that's going on in the world. Three is a crowd in the other room. Three is a crowd. Now, Now, the key thing is this. You need a tribe. You don't need a crown. For that mountain you want to climb, you need a tribe. You don't need a crowd. No, people will tell you where they belong by themselves. When they tell you, it's okay, put them there and move on. No one has a birthright to your tribe. Oh, no, you are not listening. No one has a birthright to your tribe. Let God determine it. And let people, there's some people who belong to your tribe, but they are not worthy. They've not made themselves worthy of it. Don't rush it. I mean, there's a proverb, you know, we are looking at proverbs, you know, in the western part of Nigeria, you know, that says that, Ogun omo, olesherepo fogunju, fogunodun. In other words, 20 children cannot play together for 20 years. Check your you know, inner circle in primary school. I did the same in secondary school. I did the same in university. Even life. But if you insist that, oh, this person, we're chummy, oh, in primary school, we're buddies, but you've seen them 20 years after, and you don't want to bring them into, I have friends like that, I mean, 20 years after, 10 years after, I love them, I greet them, but I can't bring them into my tribe because I've not proved to them. So, oh, but wait, we're partners in primary school. That is primary school. A lot of people have destroyed their destinies simply by not being discerning of simple principle. Don't use yesterday's eyes to look at people. Complete it. What does that mean? You don't use yesterday's eyes to look at people. But you need a tribe. And God will bring you, and God will connect you. Worthy people in the name of Jesus. Why? Because isolation kills vision. While community fuels endurance. Isolation kills vision. While community fuels endurance. You don't need a crowd. All you need is a crew. All you need is a tribe. You don't need a crowd to fly your plane. You just need a crew. You just need a crew. You just need a crew. And number three, in climbing, the higher you go, the harder you breathe. The higher you go, the harder you breathe. You need to understand that. The higher you go, the more dependent on God you to become. People say, oh, I'm a big boy now. I don't need God. I'm a big girl now. I don't do church. You know, I've heard that before. I mean, it's now very popular. Say, oh, I don't do church. You know, I do fellowship with Holy Ghost. You know. Meanwhile, the Holy Ghost said to you, don't forsake the assembly together of brethren. You know, the Holy Ghost that you are claiming. Something is wrong. John 15:5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. The higher you go in El Everest, the thinner the air becomes. At the summit of Everest, the oxygen levels are only a third of what it is at the sea level. A third. So which is where the climb helps, because the climb conditions your lungs for the oxygen that is going to be available at the top. That top of your career that you are trusting God for and you will get to in the name of Jesus, you need to realize that the oxygen, you know, plenty. So you have to depend on the Holy Spirit. This is the air I breathe. Your whole holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. You have to be desperate, and I'm lost without you. Without him, God is not an addition to your life. God is the essence of your life. The air you breathe in relationships thins out as you climb. The air you breathe in community, in the height you are attaining, thins out. You have to depend on the Holy Spirit. You have to depend on the Holy Spirit. You have to depend. In fact, climbers, they carry oxygen bottle to help, you know, because it is so tough. Some are only a few feet to the top and they collapse. You will not collapse before getting to the top in the name of Jesus. You will get to the top. Everyone that says you will not get to the top, God will shame them. You will get to the top in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. So the air gets thinner at the top. Why? Because the higher the calling, the more desperate the dependence. You see, I say to you, the higher the calling, the more desperate the dependence on God. The higher the calling of your life, the more you need, you depend on God for everything. There are things that people talk to me and they want me to take a decision and I don't say anything and they get upset. And I'm like, okay. They say, why? Now, Pastor, it's just a simple decision. No. I need clearance. I need to be sure. I need him to give me a nod. Let's just do this. I'm like, okay, I've heard. If people are on a lower level, they don't understand the dependence that is required at the higher level. You need more dependence on God. God has elevated you. You're not a CEO. You need more dependence on God. People will try and trick you. People will try and, you know, and give you all sorts of things. Why? Because what sustains you yesterday won't be enough, my brother, to sustain you tomorrow. You need God. Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is, don't outgrow your need for God. Grow into it. Grow into your need for God. Grow into your need for God. I want to pray with you. Pastor, this is for me. I want to surrender to Jesus. I want to press and grow in my need for God. I have never given my life to Jesus. I want to pray with you. We are still going to pray with the second group of people. Those that you are a Christian already. But you need to realign to these teachings and the principles that have been said. But first and foremost, for those that you need to come to him. Or you used to be with God, but you've backslidden. You want to come to God. I want to come to you today. Pray with me. We want to pray with you. Wherever you are, put up your hand now over your head. Put it up over your head and we'll pray together. Put it up. Shoot it up.
You heard what the pastor said. So if you're here, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to realign your walk with God, just raise up your hand wherever you are right now. If you're online, you can also indicate in the chat room where you are. God bless you, my brother, in that corner there. God bless you. This is one of the biggest decisions that you can make in your life. So if you want to make that decision, just raise up your hand. Raise it up above your head. Let it be clear. Let it be known that, yes, you are making this decision today. Don't scratch your head. Don't just put it in style. If you're raising it up, raise it up boldly. All right? It's a confident decision that you want to make. It's the best decision you want to make in your life. And it's a free decision because God has paid the price for you. He has done that on his side. You need to accept the price. He has bought your salvation. You need to accept what he has bought for you. And all you need to do today is just raise up your hand. We'll make this call just another few seconds. If you are here, you want to make that decision, or you are online, you just indicate in the chat room where you are. God is waiting for you. God is calling you right now. He wants to take you to higher grounds. He wants to take you to where not everybody can attain. Not everybody can get to. Not everybody gets to the top of Everest. But you have a choice today to go with God, to make the top of Everest. So I'm making the call once again. You want to give your life to Christ? Just raise up your hand. Raise it up above your head and we'll pray together. If you have made that decision, I want to pray with you at this point. So just raise up your hand again and put it on your chest and just say after me. Usher, don't distract him, please. Say, put your hand on your chest and say after me right now and say, Father, I've come before you. I declare that you are my God. I accept that you died for me. And I confess with my mouth now that you are my God. From today on, let my life be transformed. From today on, let my ways be directed by you in the mighty name of Jesus. I yield myself totally unto you. Do for me that which only you can. In the mighty name of Jesus, I walk away from the world and I walk with you going forward. Help me this new decision that I've made. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so I want to pray also for everybody that's here, and perhaps you are the specific one that Pastor is talking about, that the message of today has really touched you and you want to align yourself. You want to begin to walk on higher grounds with God. Yes, you have been saved. You know that you are saved, but you are not operating at the level that you want to. You want to take your walk with God to a higher level. I just want you to also put your hands on your chest right now as we pray. Heavenly Father, we've come before you. Yes, we acknowledge and understand now that there is need for us to be prepared for the suffering ahead. There is need for us to enter into the right partnerships. And there is need for me, all of us, to have a higher dependence on you. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the wisdom to be able to adapt as we ought to adapt for our Everest, you will give to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the wisdom to choose the right partners, you will give to us in the name of Jesus. We will be totally dependent on you. Lord, we will not depend on ourselves no more. In the mighty name of Jesus, help us in these decisions that we are taking today. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's okay for me to say at this point, welcome to higher grounds. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.